enough so you don't fall asleep. And of course, since Sunday, I'm going to be paying attention to those sitting behind taller people, especially.
Anyways,
that's an inside joke for those who heard my sermon on Sunday. Welcome. Let me be the first to just welcome you again to our annual Lenten lesson series. As you have already maybe noticed, it's our 26th year of Lenten lessons in Trent Hills. And so what a wonderful time of the year again where we can gather as a community of believers. And we encourage you to invite your friends and neighbors as well just to come and check it out. Wow, what a wonderful lunch. Thank you for all those that prepared and helped to make that possible. I love our time of fellowship and connecting before we come in here then to feed off of God's Word, which is so important for our spiritual formation and our encouragement. And I am quite sure God has a word for each one of us today. So be open. May your hearts be open to how God will speak through his servant in just a moment. So welcome. We're going to just begin our time together with a hymn before we open with prayer. And our hymn is 210 in your hymn books or on the screen as well. Jesus Paid It All. So let us begin our time together with this great hymn of our faith that reminds us of all that Jesus did for us. Let's sing together.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me my all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we have come together in this place, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather to worship you and to turn our eyes once again upon Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. It was our sin that held him there until it was accomplished. And so, Lord, as we begin yet again another season of Lenten lessons, we know that this is a journey of 7 weeks that ultimately leads to the cross and to the empty tomb, Lord. So we ask your blessing now on these next 7 weeks for all that are able to attend and join us in this time of fellowship and growing in our faith through your word. Lord, we pray your blessing over it, Lord. We lift it up to you. We thank you so much for the freedom that we have in this country to meet like this, to take advantage of these moments, Lord, to build each other up and encourage each other each and every day. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the food and the drink. We thank you for your word, which speaks to our hearts and grows our faith. And we thank you for your servant who is here to just share what you have laid on his heart, Lord, in these next 7 weeks. So we give you praise. Thank you again, Lord, for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I do have the opportunity to introduce our guest speaker today, our Lenten lesson speaker again. I'll start by saying his face was probably the second face I saw after I was born, after my mother's, and his voice probably the second voice. And if you ever think I am loud, you can blame him. Really. a few things I'll share about our speaker. He led me to the Lord in Campbellford when I was 10 years old. And then when I was 16, he baptized me in Thornbury Baptist Church, where my dad was first called to be a minister. And then it gets even better. In 2022, he officiated my wedding with my marriage to Jenny. So he's kind of been around my life for a little bit. So let's give Rob Denhood, my father, another warm Campbellford welcome. Come on up, Dad.
Great. 2002.
2002.
That's what he said. Yeah,
I catch. I might have put a 20 in there.
22 years ago. Almost 23 years ago.
But a scandal there. You on?
I'm on.
He's on. All right. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you. Well, what a joy to be back, and coming home. As I always say, coming home to Campbellford. I'm a born and raised Toronto guy, but just after I graduated from U of T with a phys ed degree, the Lord took us out to Campbellford, and I started at Maryvale School for Trained but Retarded Children. So that's where I started. And all my years of teaching, 12 years of teaching, I went to Kent, I went to Roseneath, was the Curtis for a while, was always with special populations. So that's just a bit of my background. Special populations, handicapped children, physically handicapped, disabled. I mean, that's still a big wheelhouse for me, anybody. I'm here, but I'm barely here. So I'll just have to explain this to you as well. You know, as pastors, we sometimes have those years where there are just so many funerals or so many this or so many that, you can just get overdone. And in our personal life, Audrey's not here because she's with Megan. And Megan's one of our daughters. And in the past 4 weeks, we've had three grandchildren. And so our daughter number five, I'll just call them by numbers. Number five had a baby, and she's in Port Perry, and she had Chloe, Marielle. And, oh yeah, maybe people know these people. Okay, so Marielle had a baby, and she's in Port Perry, and she had her fourth. And then we had the two girls, our last two, Emma and Megan. And Megan was due on January the 28th, and Emma was due on February the 19th, and they both decided to have a baby on the same day, February the 13th. So on Friday, February the 13th, we brought two babies. Same hospital across the street. So if you've seen Father of the Bride Part 2, you've seen, you know, how that goes back and forth, back and forth. Kind of a crazy. Anyway, so both babies are really well. You know, they're both starting to get fed. So that's always an issue at the beginning of the journey. But Megan had a girl, and they named her Sophie. And Sophie was 8 pounds, 12 ounces. And Megan is married to a really great guy named Marco. And they also have a son named Noah. Emma, our youngest, is married to Deshaun. And this was their first. And their baby is named Bodie. We call him Big Bo. And he was born at 6'12", with a fair bit of jaundice. So anyway, just all of that, and then just a couple of layers. So if you kind of know layers, and all of you live life here, so all of you know layers within these past, within these past 4 weeks, we've also had a nephew with a mental breakdown. And so I love seeing him. And so I'm trying to see him on a regular basis, just trying to encourage him in his life. And in the same 4 weeks, a week just before Emma has her baby, her husband, Deshaun, goes on a snowmobile ride, loses control of a snowmobile, rams into a snowbank, and breaks 7 ribs. Spleen and kidney, a little bit of bleeding, but not too bad, so like they didn't need to do surgery. But he's trying to recover at Sunnybrook, the helicopter from north of Peterborough, Port Perry to Sunnybrook. But he was determined to be there for Emma on Friday. So the call was on Friday morning take these pain blockers off. I can walk the halls. If I can walk the halls, you're going to let me go no matter what. He did. He got to Oshawa by 3:30 or 4 o'clock. The baby was born 11:58. So there you go. So anyway, a lot of things going on. So that's just, it has absolutely zero to do with our Bible lesson. But just to give you, Audrey is with Megan today. So we had the past 2 days with Emma, and today she is with Megan. And Megan needs a lot of help and encouragement. So thank you. Thank you for just allowing me to come back to Campbellford and to lead you into scriptures, this Lenten series. I'm calling it Lenten series, Lenten lunch series, Lenten lessons. And the theme you're going to see on the top of your handout, the theme for this series is called Remember and Forget Not. It just, as I was thinking about Lent, and every year we have Lent, or every year we have Advent, or every year we have this day or that day, and these are in the calendar, these are things that we celebrate in the church to help us remember, to bring our minds back to Christ, to what all he has done, to God and his faithfulness. And so this series is looking at seven passages of scripture, all on let us remember and forget not what God has done. Amen? Okay, so that's where we're going to go. So I'm going to start in Exodus, a very obvious passage on remember and forget not. And I'll tell you why you're going to need your journal books shortly. And this is a bit of a handout to kind of let you know kind of where we are going. I'm going to read to you our key passage of Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to bring your Bibles. It's Exodus chapter 12. It's the key Passover passage. And you'll read with me the repetition of generation to generation, or remembrance, or memorial. You'll hear those words. So let me read to you Exodus 12, 1 to 17. This is the word of the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb, I'm reading from King James, but I figured whether you're NIV, ESV, whatever you're reading, we're all fairly close here. So just stick with me. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, that evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper lintel of the door, posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head, his legs, with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, so there would be nothing left of it. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, if you can just imagine all of this, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. In verse 17, and you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. And if you just looked over at 26, 27, it kind of 24, 25, it kind of continues. You shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? I will just stop there. I want to continue just to give you another passage of Scripture. So from Psalms, if you would open up in your Bibles to Psalm 77. Every week, we're going to be looking at significant passages that talk about remembrance. And I think most of you will know most of them. They're just beautiful passages about remembering and how important it is to remember. So Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? And then I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Stop. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Thank you. We have the Scriptures. This book, these words are incomparable. There isn't a book, there isn't a word anywhere on the earth today that has ever been published in all of time that can compare to your living word that speaks to our hearts and souls even today. Bless your word to our hearts. Lord, may we live by them. May we be guided by them. May we thank you that you are willing, Lord, to speak to us through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there's lots of things that are going to be going through my mind, but one of the things I will say to you just very quickly, I'll be trying to go back to why we have this journal, but one of them will be this. As you're looking at in verse 77, Psalm 77, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. This book that you are going to make for yourselves, well, it will not be just for you. They will be for your sons and daughters. They will be for your grandchildren. Because what I want you to do is, okay, you're going to put on this book somewhere, first page, whatever, Lenten series 2026, you're going to put my book of remembrance. And in this book of remembrance, I'll be talking about it every week, is I want you to start recording things about how God has ministered into your life. Whether you want to start with your salvation story, which I'll talk about later, your testimony, write it down. Whether it's like for me, having two daughters and a son-in-law in the same hospital, one cutting, recovering from seven broken ribs and ready to cut the cord for his baby, incredible miracle. Or just life. How God is working in your life. Because God is working in your life, right? I mean, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for God's grace. And so whether it was yesterday, whether it was last week, whether it was a year ago, I'm sure it wasn't a year ago, it was probably sooner. You have seen God at work in your life, in someone in your family. Write it down. Start writing things down. My book of remembrance of what God has done, what God is doing, like the Passover for the Jewish people. Okay, so start thinking as I'm preaching now, okay, my book of remembrance, this journal is for you to start writing down where you have seen God at work. All right, so that's just to start feeding you on that. Okay, now, most of us have a favorite hymn, but one of my favorite hymns is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. In that beautiful hymn, there are these words, and all of you know these words. They go like this. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. So just dwell with me. The series is called Remember and Forget Not, but all of us are prone to wander. It's just the way our minds go. We get. There was a guy in our church not too long ago that prayed a prayer, and in that prayer he said, Lord, forgive me for being distracted and forgetful. And that would describe all of us. Like, maybe you're never distracted and forgetful. I know I can get distracted and forgetful. Well, I'm afraid this line, prone to wander, is all too often a lament repeated by too many of us. And I believe the reason we wander from the abiding presence of God and all that he is and all that he has done is that we forget. We fail to remember all that he is doing, all that he continues to do for us every day. You got to believe in providence. You got to believe in the hand of God in your life. Things just don't happen. This wasn't just random that God had these two daughters have their babies on the same day. There's all kinds of reasons going on. Okay, so just think about it. More importantly, and this is why I want to do this series on Remember and Not Forget, is that we all have a tendency to drift in our devotion to God. All of us. We get way too busy. We get distracted, we get things in our lives, and all of a sudden, it's like, where's God? Well, God hasn't moved. He's still there. It's you have moved. I have moved. And we have this tendency. It's a pattern we see all through Scripture. And so that's what I want to address as we think about Lent. So this Lent, today's the beginning of Lent. Today is Ash Wednesday. Some people will have an Ash Wednesday service. I'm going to one tonight. Okay, so Ash Wednesday is the beginning of this 40 days of maybe you're fasting, maybe you're reading a book on Lent, a Lenten book, maybe you're just things that all to do with Jesus and his life and his death and the cross and his resurrection. Okay, so getting our minds focused on Jesus, remembering all that he has done. So that's what we're going to do. Now, there's a church historian named Claire Davis, and he describes the Christian life as a combination of two things, spiritual amnesia and deja vu. Spiritual amnesia and deja vu. He describes our experience in the Christian life as, I know I have forgotten this before. I know the Lionel's preaching or Nathan's preaching and they're saying certain things and you're going, you know, I know I have forgotten this. Okay, that's spiritual amnesia and deja vu. And it's a line that many, if not all, great heroes of the faith have experienced. We don't need to go through Scripture. But if you know some of the characters in Scripture, whether it's Abraham, did he forget God a couple of times? I think so. Moses. I mean, we can talk about Peter. We can talk about John. We can talk about David, Elijah. Okay, all had a moment, had their moments of prone to wander, forgot, and did not remember God. So as we jump into this passage in Exodus chapter 12 and on the Passover, I want us to talk about the importance of memory. How good is your memory? So let me share with you a story. It's about a deacon's ordination. So in order to get ordained, to be a deacon in a church, I don't think it happens in Campbellford, but the ordinand has to go in front of a council. And today was Sam's day to go before an ordination council. And it goes like this. So they asked Sam, "Sam, what part of the Bible do you like best?" "Well, sir, I like the New Testament best, sir." "What book in the New Testament do you like, Sam?" "What book, sir?" "Yes, what book?" "I think it's the book of parables, sir." "Well, would you kindly relate one of those parables to this council today?" Well, poor Sam knew he was up against it, but there was a possibility that members of the council knew no more about their Bibles than he did. So he decided to make a bold attempt and proceeded as follows. So this is Sam remembering his Bible stories. Okay, it goes like this. "Well, once upon a time, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and the thorns grew up and choked the man. And he went on, and he didn't have no money, and he met the Queen of Sheba. And she gave that man, sir, 1,000 talents of gold and silver and 100 changes of raiments. And when he was driven along under a big tree, his hair got caught in a limb and left him hanging there." "Yes, sir. And he hung there many days and many nights, and the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. And one night while he was hanging there asleep, his wife Delilah come along and cut his hair off. And he dropped and he fell on stony ground, and it began to rain 40 days and 40 nights it was raining. Then he hid himself in a cave, and the man went out into the highways and the byways and compelled him to come in. And went on and he went on, and then he comes to Jerusalem and he sees Queen Jezebel sitting high up in a window. And when she saw him, she laughed at him, and he said, 'Throw her down out of there.' And they threw her down. And he said, 'Throw her down again.' And they threw her down 70 times 7. And the fragments they picked up were 12 baskets full. Now, whose wife will she be in the day of judgment?" Well, there was no one on the council who felt qualified to question Sam, and so he passed. Now, I'm hoping that that's not true from the people of Campbellford Baptist Church. I know these two men. They preach well, and you will not make the same kinds of mistakes. But I'm saying that only to say how important it is that we know our scriptures, that we're reading our scriptures. One of the questions I love asking people in the hospital is, "Can you tell me one of your favorite Bible stories?" And we'll talk about a Bible story. Or if my grandchildren are over and I just can't grab a Bible anywhere, or they're all being kind of crazy. This was a couple of nights ago. They're all being kind of crazy. So I said, "Okay, Opa's got a Bible story." So I start a Bible story, and the kids start filling it in. Okay, what happened to the man? Okay, the Levite came by, the priest came by, the good Samaritan. Okay, so knowing Bible stories and sharing Bible stories is critical for us. As parents, as grandparents, great-grandparents, tell stories. Let's talk about memory for a minute. Now, this could be a little hard for us here today. I know we're all getting a little old. We're getting a little gray. But the ability to remember and memorize facts of life, experience, is critical. Our memories hold a special place in each of our lives, because it's memories that keep things connected and give us meaning in every way. The ability to remember helps us make sense of things past, present, Memory is key to learning and building on what we've learned. Ask any teacher. You know, that's why they start with, you know, addition and subtraction. They move up to multiplication, division. Okay, everything built on the next thing, and you're remembering, okay? You're memorizing things. Now, it's true that some have been blessed with better memories than others. I can just look at my children, and some of them got really good memories, and some of them, kind of like me. Okay, so all of us have different abilities with our memories. Some people have photographic memories. Erwin Lutzer, anybody remember? Anybody know Erwin Lutzer? Moody Bible Institute pastor, great guy, Saskatchewan, Canadian born. Erwin was a farmer and would plow hundreds and hundreds of acres in a day, and he would memorize chapters upon chapters and books upon books of Bibles. Memorized. Photographic memory. Like, that ain't me. But if there's somebody here, God bless you. Like, I mean, there are some people who have great memories. And they're able to go. And then some people go through most exams. I'm not sure if I can say that Annika doesn't sweat too much, but Isaiah sweats a whole lot. So some people just have this ability. It's in there, and they've got it. And other people, it's like, oh, I got to read or keep reading, keep memorizing. So memory's important. And then as we get older, it gets harder, right? Well, you don't have to agree with me. Just you don't even have to nod. But okay, you know what I mean. So as we get older, we have to create all these passwords, right, to all our devices. And so what are we going to learn to remember all these passwords and these strings on our fingers or these numbers on our fingers and toes? And anyway, memory, working on it. And then we create mechanisms to help us remember, whether we have day books, whether we use calendars. Okay, all these things that we can use to help us with our memories. So I think you all get it, right? Memory is important, and we need to keep our memories going. So as we look at Exodus chapter 12, so if you just turn with me back to Exodus 12, and our time's going to go really quickly now, so I'm just going to have to move really quickly. But in Exodus chapter 12, you know, to come against, you know, the prone to wander and spiritual amnesia, God commands the children of Israel to observe a Passover meal as a perpetual reminder. So in Exodus chapter 12, you read it. You read it in verse 13 and verse 14. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. From generation to generation, you shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance forever. Verse 24, and you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. So there's this, we're going to have this Passover. I'm going to create this Passover meal. It's all God's idea, right? Don't forget, it's all God. Everything is God here. And he's going to have them do this Passover. And he wants them to remember what? What does he want them to remember? He wants them to remember the great salvation. He wants them to remember their deliverance from Egypt, that once upon a time they were slaves, and he's freed them from Egypt. He delivers them, how he loves them, how he takes care of his people, and how they are to remember and not forget. So the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Jewish Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, same thing, was to become a rite, R-I-T-E, a rite of remembrance of the great Exodus, how God set them free from slavery, very much like the purpose of Lent as we head our heads and minds to the cross. Why are we remembering? Because we want to remember all that Christ has done to set us free from sin. Amen? And so you have these great passages of Scripture, and I think it's just important to remind ourselves, even as you're reading in the Old Testament, and you're reading along, and you read something like this. This is called the forbidden chapter for rabbis. Isaiah 53, the forbidden chapter. They don't want their people to spend too much time here. But it says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Don't you love it? Isaiah 53, 700 years before Christ was on the cross. And so it's important for us to remember. So there are these memorial stones, and there are these memorial moments that we need to remind ourselves of constantly and be aware. There's throughout Scripture, there are these moments. I'll remind you of another one. It was David, when David killed Goliath. We read in 1 Samuel 17, David took the head of the Philistine. He brought it to Jerusalem. But what did he do with his armor? Anybody remember what he did with his armor? Put it in his tent. That's right. He put it in his tent. So you're going, that's interesting. Now, why would David put Goliath's armor in his tent? Well, every time David saw Goliath's armor hanging in his tent, it became a sacred reminder of God's faithfulness to him, right? That God was with him. God gave him power. And the word remember occurs almost 250 times in the Scriptures. Remember, remember, remember. And there's a reason why, because we tend to forget. And that's why God is always telling us to either build an altar or to make a memorial as you're reading through Scripture, okay? And Jacob built an altar at Bethel where God gave him a life-changing dream. The Israelites took 12 stones from the River Jordan and used them to build a miracle altar in Gilgal. And over Samuel built a victory altar at Mizpah and called it Ebenezer. And without these sacred reminders, we could forget the spiritual lessons that you and I have learned along the way. So the Bible records that the literal weight of Goliath's armor was 125 pounds and 15 ounces. So you can imagine, every time that David moved his tent and pitched it somewhere else, that armor went with him. Why? Okay, that's why we're doing this series. Why? Because it doubled as a daily reminder of God's faithfulness to him. It was also a great confidence builder. Whatever the future held, David knew that with God's help, he could handle it. So there are two lessons in this. First, if God did it for David, do you think he could do it for you? What do you think? Yes, the answer is yes. And if God did it before, do you think God can do it again? Yes, the answer is yes. So just thinking about this Passover, today at Passover, all over the world, okay, in each Jewish home, a question is asked, just as we see it being asked. In this question, verse 26, it says, "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? What mean ye by this? Why are we having this Passover?" And so today, in every Jewish home at Passover, the child asks, one of the questions the children ask is, why do we observe this? And the parents will tell again and again and again, they will tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And so in every Jewish home, the traditions passed on, that's what makes them a Jewish people. So whenever I read the story of the Passover in Exodus, I don't know about you, but my mind quite quickly goes to our Passover, the Lord's Supper, our communion. And I am reminded, every time I participate in the Lord's Supper, I am reminded of the cost that my sin cost Jesus. That he went to the cross and shed his blood for my sin, every time. At that first Jewish Passover, they prepared to leave the slave huts of Egypt. The Jewish people began to remember, and in the remembering, they became a nation. It basically made them a people group. Passover, whether they were in Russia or whether they were, because Jewish people are persecuted all over the world, still are. Anti-Semitism is on the rise, Okay, you have to ask yourself, why is that? Okay, why are Jewish people so mercilessly hated around the globe? Why is that? And it's not because they're just this little piece of land over there in the Middle East. It's because they are the people of God, and God has an enemy, and his name is Satan. And Satan will do anything he can to get rid of Jewish people, wherever they are. Okay, so we see it. We see a rise in anti-Semitism in 2026, 2025. Okay, but wherever Jewish people are, they celebrate the Passover. What are they doing? They are remembering the Exodus. They are remembering God's faithfulness, how much God loves them, how God has made them a people. And at every Christian Passover, the communion or the Lord's Supper, when we gather together, we remember Christ. We remember his love, his sacrifice, his death in our place, his resurrection. And when we do so, we remind ourselves of the great cost that was paid for our redemption. And we want to pass that on, that tradition, on to our children. So let's interpret both this spiritually and personally. Every one of us who is and who will be a part of the Exodus story as the people of God can say that God did this for me as well. So if you're a believer here today, okay, just think about your life. How did you come to Christ? Everybody has a different story. We all have a different story here. But no different than the children of Israel in Egypt, I'm going to say God did it. God brought you to that place. God opened your eyes. God softened your heart. God allowed you by grace, right? We are saved by grace through faith. Okay, so it's God's activity in you and I that got us to the place where we repented of our sins and we asked Jesus to come into our heart. And as I say that, I'm just going to ask you to go there for a minute in your own life. Okay, where did that happen? Every believer has a journey. Every believer has had a transformation. Even if you were a really good person, I'd like to say, like me, really good kid, you know, really good guy. I grew up in the church all my life. I loved going to church. It didn't make me a Christian, okay? My parents were so Christians, but being in church every Sunday did not make me a Christian. Being baptized as a baby did not make me a Christian, okay? So what had to take place in my life? What took place in your life, no matter what, whether you're Catholic background, Presbyterian, doesn't matter, Baptist all your life, what happened in your life, where, when, how, okay, that got you to the place, and then I love John chapter 1, verse 10, 11, 12, where it talks about as many as received him, to those who believed in his name, they were given the right to be called children of God. So think about your life. Where did you receive? Where did you believe? Spiritually, we are present with the Israelites as they fled Egypt and escaped their captors through the Red Sea. But the point of keeping the Passover is the same as with many of our Christian memorials and celebrations today. It is to remember that great salvation, that great salvation. Exodus 13, verse 3 says, "And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt," Exodus 13, verse 3, "out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. There shall be no leavened bread be eaten here. This day came ye out in the month of Abib." So just again, to make all of this Lenten series personal, I need you to enter in yourself. The scriptures are great, okay? So we've got the Exodus story, but now apply the Exodus story to Rob, to yourself personally. Okay, we can think about the Passover, and we can think about Lent, but think about what we've done in our calendars. We have Advent. We have an Advent series, an Advent that leads up to Christmas. We have Christmas to remember the birth and the incarnation. We have Lent, which prepares our heart for the cross. We have Good Friday, which remembers the crucifixion. We have Easter, remember the Savior's resurrection. We have Ascension Day, where we remember Christ rose up back into heaven. We have Pentecost, where we remember the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven. You know, we have Reformation Sunday. Okay, all these things are great things. Why do we have them in our calendar? To help us remember. Okay, so the scriptures are here for reasons. So here's my conclusion for us today. I'm sorry, we're due. But it's two things. First, we need to remember the biblical account of that first Passover. So just even as you reread Exodus 12 and 13, refresh your memory of all that God ordered them to do, what he did in creating a Passover, and how he encouraged them to keep this, to pass it on from generation to generation to generation, so you don't forget. Next week, I'm going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapters 4 and 6, the importance of telling children, because right after Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right after Deuteronomy comes the book of Joshua, and after Joshua comes the book of Judges. And in very quick order, Joshua was very strong. Joshua led the children of Israel. They had a couple of ups and downs, but basically conquering land after land after land. You'd think, oh my goodness, what a great history. Look at all that we've done. Then we get into the book of Judges. Joshua has died. By chapter 2, what's happening? They're forgetting. They're forgetting. The Judges is a hard book to read, because they forgot, and then they started worshiping idols, and then they kind of joined the enemy, and then they kind of were conquered by the enemy, and then they became slaves to the enemy. Then they cried out to God, and God heard their cry, and then they repented of their sin, and then they came back to God until they forgot again. So we're going to be talking about that cycle, because it's a cycle that can happen to anybody. So next week, Deuteronomy chapter 4, 6, and then a little bit of Judges. So that's what we're going to do. So finally, my other point is, let's remember the significance of the Passover, why it is in Scripture for the Jewish people, but the significance for us, the Lord's Supper, to remember all that Christ has done for us at the cross. And the second part I want us to remember is this, is begin to think about in your book, begin to think about each one of us has had a deliverance. Every one of us. I've had kind of a milquetoast, I've always been in the church kind of person, and I have met wonderful, wonderful people, strong, incredible Christians, who will say, you know, I can't really remember that moment. And yet, there has to be some, whether you were at 5 years of age or 50 years of age, there has to be a Jesus paid it all moment. There has to be a from head to heart where something has happened to you, or else you're not saved. I mean, there had to be a moment, because it says in Scripture, as many as received him, to those who believed in his name. So, you know, at 1 and 2 and 3, that may not happen, but maybe at 3 or 4, I mean, there was something that you heard, or your parents, and you believed. And so in your book, begin to share, begin to write. These are personal, so everybody has their own journal. Nobody has to see it. You can keep it private. But begin to try to articulate how you came to Christ. Why? Because when you have that in your head, when someone comes to your door, a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, a Christian Science, some other cult, some other group, some progressive, okay, somebody who like doesn't know anything about Christianity, you will have your testimony ready to share. Let me tell you how I came to know Jesus, and why it's important that you come to know Jesus. So that's part of this series. Remember and forget not is like, I am saved by grace through faith. It's all a work of God. It was not of me, lest any man should boast. Okay, so it's not what I have done, but what God has done in me. Right? Saved by grace through faith. So begin working on that. begin to work on that. And then what we may try to do over the next 7 weeks is maybe somebody be willing to share. Oh, this is where I saw God at work. Or this is how God, there was a miracle in my life. And can I share it? Okay, remember and not forget, and forget not. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We know it is powerful. Lord, we are here as believers in Christ, and we thank you for the work that Jesus did for us on the cross. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you did in the children of Israel in Egypt so long ago when you allowed them to put blood on their doorposts and the angel of death passed over, Lord, so that they could be freed from their slavery in Egypt. And you led them through the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for all that you did. And Lord, you continue to do it in us. So Lord, help us, Lord, to not forget all that you are doing. And help us and prepare us to share our stories with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Son, sorry.
Thank you, Rob. I don't think my mic is on. Thank you, Rob. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. How many times do I have to say this? Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob. Blessings upon you. I was thinking we were going to sing a hymn and then also have a benediction, but we're going to nix that at this point because I believe that Rob's final prayer was a great benediction. So the Lord be with you. I don't think it's starting to snow yet. So the Lord's blessing on your trip home, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Same time, same station. Blessings to each one of you.
Yeah. Remember and forget not.